It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I appreciate the kind words that Brother Jerry shared, and I also value our friendship, and as he said, it's a shame that sometimes distance, even though it's really not that far, hinders us from getting together like maybe we'd like to, but there's one thing about it. If we've been saved by the grace of God, there is a relationship and a bond that we all share that can never be broken, and I thank the Lord for that tonight, and I appreciate the invitation extended to me to be with you tonight, and I look forward to sharing God's word with you, and I would just like to echo Brother Jerry's comments about our time together at Old Union today, and I thoroughly enjoyed it also, and Brother Chris, I didn't get a chance to tell you afterwards, but thoroughly enjoyed your subject, and he did a wonderful job presenting it to us today, and I greatly benefited from it and from each one that was shared today, and I'm looking forward to what tomorrow is going to bring, so appreciate that. I'm just a tad disappointed that I'm beginning to preach without hearing the song that was being practiced when I first came in tonight. I told my dad, I said, that's one of my favorite songs. I thought maybe, just maybe, you were going to sing it tonight, but I guess I'll have to come back another time for that. Wouldn't do it? Yeah. Next time, maybe next time. I do desire your prayers tonight as I try to share what God's placed on my heart. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to encourage you to turn to the book of Galatians with me, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Galatians, chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in the very first verse, Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world, present evil world, according to the will of God, and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But through we or an angel from heaven preach any gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, so I say again now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I'm going to stop with those first 10 verses as my establish my thought tonight. And I want to take a text from the 5th chapter in the first verse. We find recorded there, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. My thought for a few moments tonight, if the Lord will help me and if you'll pray for me, is simply this. God's word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We're living in a world today where it's hard to tell what's real from that which is imitation. Manufacturers have come to understand that not everyone can afford the real thing. And because everybody can't afford the real thing, they have begun to manufacture imitations. Not everybody can afford a big diamond, but you can get something that looks like a big diamond. Not everybody can afford a Rolex watch. You can get something that looks like a Rolex watch. I know some of the ladies are in love with Coach purses and anything that's to do with Coach. It's hard to afford those things. But you can get some things that look like a Coach purse. It's a knockoff. And, you know, when we talk about something being an imitation, it's anything that's pretending to be something that it's not. And I find that if you want the real deal, you better do your homework before you put down your hard-earned money for something that may be an imitation. And I was thinking about that, and I thought how true that is for the gospel. That same principle we see all around us today as it pertains to the gospel. There are many denominations, and even some that are no or non-denominations, that are putting forth before people what I call an imitation gospel. And if you want the true gospel, you better do your homework. And you better know the difference so as not to accept or to be deceived by that which is an imitation. And brothers and sisters, I really believe that you and I have a monumental task before us. And as we think about this tonight, I believe that our task, I believe our responsibility as professing Christians who have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have an experience of salvation, I believe that our responsibility, and I believe our task is that we receive the Word of God, and that not only do we receive it, but we accept it as being the truth. And I believe that we are to uphold it. I believe that we are to maintain it. And I believe we have a great responsibility to spread the truth, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to everyone that's in need of it. And there are too many, I believe, that are taking a stand for the Lord who are not getting it right. They may look good, and they may sound good, and they may say some things that, well, it makes some sense, and it may mask some of the principles of what God's word is. But brothers and sisters, it's not the truth. It's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you may be thinking, well, Brother Randy, that's kind of a bold statement. What makes you so right that you can say that about others? And I guess the only way that I can respond to that is with the scripture. Paul, when he was speaking to the Thessalonians, he said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And what that means is, and I don't mind saying this to you, is that any man that stands and proclaims the word of God, according to the scriptures, you have the right to check what they're saying against what God's word says. And I try to always make a point when I share from the Word of God to try to tell you where I'm reading from so that you know where it's coming from and that you can look at it for yourself and you can know if it's the truth. And you can accept that which is true and you can put aside anything you hear that may be false from those that withstand. And you know, Paul here, he was taking a stand against the Judaizers of his day. And, you know, they were teaching that the Gentiles had to do more than just have a believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They taught that they also had to submit to the Jewish law and to the traditions that they had. And brothers and sisters, that was not and that is not the truth. As has already been said here tonight, the truth is that salvation is by grace through faith. Grace through faith, period. Nothing else. It's not of yourselves, it's not of somebody else, but the scripture is very clear that it's the gift of God. And you know, as Paul was writing to the churches here, he was trying to correct this problem. And as he was trying to do so, you know, he was very clear about it, and he was trying to eliminate all the confusion. And it's no different today. People are still confused today. There's a conflict that's still going on between those that are struggling with grace versus the law. They're struggling with faith versus works. And Paul was defending his credibility to these people here. He made very clear who it was that put him in the place that he was in. It wasn't man, but it was the Lord that put him in the responsibility that he had to share the gospel. And that was his job. And as he recorded this to us, he really preached what I like to call a mini sermon that he was sharing with them, and he was declaring unto them what the gospel truth was. And the gospel is the heart and the soul of Christianity. You get it wrong and you get Christianity wrong. And if you don't have the true gospel, brothers and sisters, people are led away, they're led astray, and the consequences of that, I was going to say that could be devastating, but the consequence of that could be eternal. And, you know, we know that the true gospel message is grace and peace between God and man. And what a wonderful experience it is that God gives us. And, you know, as we enter into this Easter holiday season, you know, the gospel truly is the good news. The gospel truly is the message of Christ freely giving himself to atone for the sins of humanity. And you know, as Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he said, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if unsaved, I would say to people, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived by imitation gospels. Salvation is available to everyone. Salvation is available this very moment. If there's someone here tonight, I don't know the hearts of everyone here tonight, but it's available to everyone and anyone who will listen to the truth of the gospel. But the scriptures is clear that it's only attainable through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. And Jesus was very clear. He said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And, you know, when I read that verse of scripture, one of the things that sticks out to me is the. Every time I read that, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And what that means is he is the one, and he is the only one, and you can't find salvation in any other but Christ, our Lord. Peter proclaimed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 that we are not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but he said with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People today, brothers and sisters, they need to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I try to imagine the reaction of Paul to the Christians at Galatia who were deserting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the words that came to my mind is unbelievable. You know, we hear that word unbelievable, and a lot of times what we equate it with is some sporting event where maybe some receiver goes out for a pass and he makes this fantastic catch, and the announcers say, that was unbelievable. But Paul looked at it a little bit differently. He was looking at the Christians here at Galatia, and I envisioned him saying, what were you thinking? I envisioned him saying, as the scripture says, it said, he marveled. And what that meant was he was astonished. He was blown away. He was bewildered that the Galatians had so quickly and so easily departed from the true gospel. And by departing from the true gospel, they were deserting Christ who saved them by grace. And they deserted the true gospel for as it was defined as for another gospel, or as in the Greek where it says some strange gospel that didn't have any value to it, that was worthless. And I wonder, how does that happen, brothers and sisters? Could it happen in a church that you attend? And before you start shaking your head no that it couldn't, let me just say that it can happen anywhere. And I want you to know tonight that it doesn't happen immediately. It's not something that is just a glaring departure that takes place in our churches, but it's something that happens gradually. And it's something that I believe happens unintentionally, as sometimes we leave those to teach, or sometimes we allow those to preach without help and without guidance from those that are grounded in the true gospel and the true faith. And we need to be more aware of that, and we need to be more conscious of trying to help. You know, one of the first things that seems, and maybe it's just me, but one of the first things that we want to do to a new convert, somebody who is newly saved, and I'll even go a step further, and someone who newly announces their call in the ministry, the first thing that we want to do is throw them into something. Let's make them a teacher. Let's put them in a pastorate. But there comes a time where you got to learn and you got to grow. And we who have been traveling this road for whatever time, if we've got something that we can offer to help them, we need to do that. And we need to do it in the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way. I thought about Apollos in the 18th chapter of Acts. The scripture says to us that he was an eloquent man and that he was mighty in the scriptures, referring to the Old Testament scriptures. And at Ephesus, it tells us that he spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. What Apollos spoke, it was the truth. But it wasn't the whole truth. And as you read through that portion of God's word, you will see that there was a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. And they heard him and they heard what he was preaching. And the scripture said they called him out in the middle of his sermon No, he didn't. They didn't do that. I was waiting for a shaking head. I didn't get that. That would have been the wrong thing, wouldn't it, Brother Terry? That wasn't the thing that they did, and it was the right thing because they shouldn't have done it. But what the scripture says to us, it says they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And I believe that's exactly what they should have done. He wasn't preaching false. He was preaching the truth that he knew. He just didn't have all of it. And after they got together with him and they shared with him the truth, it tells us that he left with God's word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he went away preaching, and the scripture says, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we see here how important it is for the church to teach and for the church to train and to make sure that what's being taught is the true or the truth gospel, and that it's being upheld and it's being maintained for future generations. This past weekend, I attended an ordination for a young man that was entering into the full work of the ministry, and he was taking a pastorate. And I thought about the responsibilities, and these responsibilities just aren't to preachers, it's to every child of God. But for those of us who have been ordained, part of that process, probably which is the most gut-wrenching, is what they call the interrogation. And of course, the interrogation is where questions are asked, and they're asked for the purpose of, and this is the phrase we use, to find the individual to be sound in the faith. Well, if you're like me, if you're in that meeting, we're going through that motion, but if we're there already, the church that called them obviously thinks they're sound in the faith. And the church where they belong and the one that's doing the ordaining, they also think that that person is sound in the faith. So by the time it gets that far, they ought to be sound in the faith. But we go through that series of questioning anyway, and this is the thought that came to me. As we go through that and we're calling them sound in the faith, what we're really doing is claiming that that person is in a condition, in a position where they can take the word of God and they can tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can you imagine if all of us who are saved, and those of us who are preached, all of us, as we come to this point and we become Christians, and maybe as we're ordained brethren, that we got to raise our right hand and we got to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's really what we're saying, and that's our heart's desire. Now, I don't want you to think tonight that I've never made a mistake. I've made my fair share of mistakes, but I've never made any intentionally. I try to study God's word, and I try to understand it to the best of my ability, and I would never, ever want to deceive anybody. But you know what? We've got to keep working at it. We've got to keep striving. We've got to keep learning what God's word can say to us, and because it is for the future generation. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to tarry before he comes back. But what I do know is that right now, I've got a responsibility in my generation to make sure that the gospel truth, God's word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is passed from my generation to the next generation. And then that generation has a responsibility, if the Lord hasn't come back, to pass it on to the next generation. So this is very important, and it's very critical that we do that. Let me ask you this tonight. Why do you attend the church that you attend? Do you attend it because, well, it's convenient. It's close to where I live, so I go there. Or do you attend it perhaps maybe because it's a nice building. This is a beautiful building. It's got all the conveniences that you would want. Looks good. I don't know. Do you attend because you like the people? There's good people in there, and you like those people. I suppose any one of those, or maybe all of those, might be reasons why you attend the church that you attend. But hopefully, the main reason that you attend where you attend is because for whatever amount of time that that church has been in existence, it's been a place that has a reputation of being a place where you could find the truth, the gospel truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That it's a place where you could find the power and the spirit of God present. That's why we should be where we're at. Because it has, the other things are bonus. If it's close to home, how nice is that? If it's got nice facilities, that's good too. Hopefully you like the people. It makes it so much better when you're worshiping if you like the people. But the main reason we should be worshiping where we're worshiping is because it's the place where the gospel truth is found. The Apostle Paul, as he was speaking to these, he was giving them some good, but he was giving them some very stern instruction. And I believe that instruction applies to us today. The instruction that he was giving was, don't accept any perversions of the gospel. Don't accept anything that's imitation or sounds like or is partially correct. Remember, what was Paul dealing with? He was dealing with the Judaizers. They were in the church. They weren't bad people. And I want you to know tonight that everything that they believed was not false. If you look at the things that they believed many things that were correct. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they believed that he died and was raised from the dead. They believed in the oneness of God, and they believed in the sinfulness of man. So, what was the problem with their belief system? There was a problem that Paul had. The problem that he had with their belief system was that they believed that more was needed than just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed that the work of Christ was not sufficient within and of itself. They weren't completely overthrowing the gospel. They were just adding to it. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, it tells us, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. What were they doing? They were teaching a Christ plus salvation. And the Apostle Paul was standing in stern opposition to that message. And he stood fast on the doctrine that salvation was by grace through faith, period. You know, in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, it very clearly tells us that nothing is to be added. And nothing is to be taken away from the things that are written in this book. The danger in this is if the message doesn't say that salvation is by grace through faith, well, number one, it's wrong and it's false. But those who may be teaching or preaching something else, their effort is bringing about confusion. And it's bringing about a perversion of the gospel. Paul said, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Judaizers were confusing the Christians at Galatia, and the church was unsettled. And as a result of that, the scriptures teach us that it was causing some to stray from the truth. It was causing them not only to stray in word, but it was causing them to stray in action and causing them to stray in behavior as well. And, I think about this, and I think that confusion that existed there, that confusion still exists in even churches today as we look around us. There are churches that say that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they go to say that, you know, you got to live a good life in addition to that to be saved. In essence, what they're saying is that, again, the work of Christ isn't sufficient. And because of that, there's more that must be done. Salvation requires repentance and faith. Living a good life, well, that's the outcome of what redemption provides. That's the outcome of justification. I hope you're following me this evening. The Judaizers, they were turning the truth of the gospel into something that it was not. The relevance of Paul's message is even great in our day today. We've got a lot of what I'm going to term as modern church doctrines that are imitations of the true gospel. I won't call them by name tonight, but they're in all of our communities, wherever you're from. They're in all of our communities. They'll believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. but that his death was not sufficient for our salvation. They will tell you that in addition to that, you've got to be baptized to be saved. Without being baptized, you can't be saved. That's false. That's not the truth of God's message. Others will tell you that in addition to being believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in addition to being baptized, you got to perform certain works, and you got to be absolutely loyal to Jehovah as they define Jehovah. My point in saying this is that in each of these cases, in each of these groups, in each of these that profess that salvation in Christ alone is not enough, they are suggesting and they are preaching a Christ plus salvation. That is not the Word of God's truth. That is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the gospel. According to the scriptures, again, salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works, but it's by grace through faith. Being baptized is important after you've been saved. I believe it's the first act of obedience that a child of God is to do in obedience to the Lord. But as we think about what was transpiring here, the point that I really want us to get tonight is that we need not be fooled. We need to stay true to the truth of the gospel. Paul makes his strongest statement about listening to the false gospel. And what he said was, is it didn't matter who the person was. And I found that interesting because what he was saying was, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Paul said, reject it. Don't accept it. The Judaizers, you know, they had some very impressive credentials. You know, they came from Jerusalem. They knew the Old Testament, I'd say backwards, forward. They knew it very well. Probably had degrees from the finest Jewish schools that there were. They were the masters of persuasion. Who could dispute them? And you know, there's an important lesson for us here. We sit sometimes and we listen. I watch sometimes some of the television evangelists, and I listen to programs on the radio in my car as I'm driving down the road. And you know, sometimes we sit in churches and we hear things. And you know, if you've been in the faith, you've been saved by grace through faith, and you've heard the truth and sat under the truth, if you hear something that doesn't sound just right, you know it. You know what the truth is, and if it doesn't sound right, you know what happens a lot of times? People will just sit there and they'll say, well, that person surely must be wiser than I am, so you know, what they're saying, you know, must be the truth. But what the Apostle Paul was saying here was, you know what? I don't care if it's me, the Apostle Paul. He said, I don't care if it's angels. I don't care who it is. If they preach a different gospel, he said, reject it. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. It doesn't matter how many degrees a person has after their name. It doesn't matter how huge their congregation is, if they have thousands of people that are attending their church services. Paul says that doesn't matter. If they don't preach the true gospel, he said, reject it. Reject it because it's false. Reject it because those who are preaching it, as the scripture says, they're preaching another, or they're preaching a different gospel. And he said, they are accursed. They are condemned. Some may wonder, why wasn't the Apostle Paul a little more tolerant? You know, can't we just all get along? You know, that's the a phrase that we hear today. And modernists will say that, you know, all of our beliefs are equal. Therefore, you know, we don't have any right to judge another person's belief. Does it really matter? Brothers and sisters, it matters. I think about when we talk about whether it matters or not, to me, it's a matter of life and death. To me, it's a matter of that will affect people spiritually and affect them eternally. And therefore, we've got to make sure that what we're hearing and what's being presented is the truth. And I believe that our right to judge the gospel that we hear is the true gospel. That's what the true Word of God teaches us. And we need to know the difference. And, you know, Paul wouldn't compromise one inch of ground about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And neither should we. Paul said in the fifth chapter in the first verse, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." You know, Paul was sounding out a warning. And his warning was against any gospel that was not the true gospel, that was not the truth gospel, that was not the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. And you know, if you've been saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your age is, you can know the truth. And you can know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you can stand for the truth. And not only can you stand for the truth, but you can take the truth and you can know it and you can convince others of it. You can share that. That's our responsibility. That's our task that we've been given, that once we've heard it, believed it, received it, we've got to maintain it and we've got to make sure that it's available for everyone who needs to hear it. And there are people all around us that need to hear the truth. And, you know, I know that, you know, people want to be popular, but sometimes what's popular doesn't get you friendship, but if it's the truth, you still got to stand for it. And, you know, I know I've been in some situations where I was very uncomfortable with the people that were in my surrounding, but I was given the chance to be able to share the Word of God with them. And, you know, I did the best that I could to share what I believed to be that gospel truth, not worrying about if I was ever asked back again. You know, sometimes we only get one shot, Brother Jerry, and when God gives us that opportunity, we need to take that opportunity and we need to share it. Paul was warning the Galatians, and he was warning all believers. The question before us, of course, is, will we heed the warning today? Will we accept no imitations of the true gospel? Will we believe in the Word of God as truth? And will we believe it as the whole truth and nothing but the truth? I don't think there's anybody that will want to stand before the Lord and hear the Lord say, "Unbelievable. What were you thinking?" I don't think there's a one of us that would want to stand before the Lord and hear that. God's Word is the truth. It's the whole truth, and it's nothing but the truth. There is only one true gospel, and that's the gospel that Paul preached to the Galatians. It's the gospel that I try to preach. It's the gospel that affected their souls. It's the gospel that has affected my soul when the Lord saved my soul. It's the same gospel that'll prick the lost that are still in the world today. I was thinking before I got up to share God's Word tonight, how long it had been. I've been saved for 46 years. I was saved when I was 9 years old. And you're getting old, Dad. And I thank the Lord that Dad did take us to church. I suppose many of us could say the same thing. In my household, it was never a question of, were we going to go to church? We were going to church. I never on Sunday afternoon said, "Dad, can I stay home tonight? Or are we going to church tonight?" That was never a question to be asked, because the answer was we were going. And I'll just be honest, there were times then that I didn't appreciate it. There were times that I'd rather done something else. But today, I'm thankful for that. And if I'm not careful, I'll get off on a tangent, but we need more of that today, brothers and sisters. We need more parents doing the parenting and not letting the children determine what they're going to do. I had a situation where I was talking to a father last week. I've been burdened for his son. He's unsaved. He's 14 years old. And I believe from his countenance and I believe from his actions, he's lost and he needs Jesus. And I'm trusting the Lord will save his soul. His name is Scott. You help me pray about that. But I was talking to his dad about it, and his dad said, yeah, I tried to talk to him about it the other day, but he told me to back off and don't push it. And I thought, really? And what did you do? He said, well, I just stopped. And I thought about if I'd have told my dad to back off. And, well, we won't go there, Dad. I'm still here today, so that's proof he didn't kill me. But my point is this. If we can't be so concerned about our own children, I mean, that was the most important thing to me as a parent. I didn't care about me, but I cared about my children. I wanted them to have what I had. And I'm not talking about my accumulations of this life. I wanted them to have salvation. And I wanted them to be in a place where they could hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so it could prick their heart, and then they would know what to do. Because they'd been sitting under it and been told through the preaching of the truth of God's word that it was by grace through faith. And if the Holy Spirit was pricking their heart and drawing them to an altar of repentance, they knew what to do. They knew to go. And we need to be more concerned about that today. God's word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Brothers and sisters, let's not accept any imitations. The world is trying to convince people of so many half-truths. It sounds good. It sounds almost right. But the problem is they don't know enough of what's right to know what's not right. And that's why we got to be in our Bibles. We got to study. Take every opportunity you can to go to your Wednesday night Bible studies, your Sunday schools, anything you can do. Get into those places and learn God's word. You know, I can do this all day long. I can walk around all day long like this. You know how much of that I'm going to get by osmosis? Nothing. I'm going to have to turn the book around. I'm going to have to open it up. I'm going to have to read it. And I'm going to have to listen to others that I have faith and confidence in that they're telling me the truth. Oh, I'm going to check it. I'm going to follow along in God's word. And if it doesn't sound right, I'm going to study it out a little bit. We need to do that. One more thing, and I'm going to sit down, Brother Jerry. I told a group I was speaking to last week at this ordination, they had elected me to preach the charge to the candidate and to the church. And as I was talking to him about the pastoral role, and I said, you know, just get ready and get prepared. I says, your church people, your phone's going to be ringing. The phone will ring. Now, preacher, I know in there it says somewhere that God so loved the world. I can't find it. Can you tell me where to find that? Well, have you looked for it? Well, no, I just thought it'd be easier to call you. And they're right, it probably is, and we'll tell them where it's at. But my point is like, you got to get in the Word. You know what's missing? You know what's lacking? Again, this is just my opinion. Zeal. Where's the zeal? Where's the hunger? When we become saved, there should be a hunger and there should be a thirst for God's word and the things of God. We should have a desire to not only know the word, but we should have the desire to share the word. We should have the desire for lost souls. We should be burdened by that. We should be excited about when the next church service is going to be. Afraid that if we're not there, we're going to miss something. And you are. You'll miss a blessing. You'll miss some little something. Every time I stand, you know what my desire is, besides the fact that God is honored and glorified, is that they leave with one thing, just one thing that touched them out of the service that day or the message that day. If it happens to be two things or three things, what a bonus. Wasn't God good? But people need to come with a hunger and a thirst. Come expecting a blessing. Come expecting, you know, what's God going to do today? How's God going to bless today? I go to church just looking for that Scott or Chris or Spencer to come to the altar to be saved. Every time I leave the house, I say, Lord, is today going to be the day? Speak to their heart, trouble their heart, convict them. Or maybe today is the day, today, Lord, the day that this one or that one or this one is going to join the church and become a part of the Lord's church. Becoming a part of the Lord's church is a privilege and it's a blessing. until people change their mentality that says, I'd like to, but boy, if I join, then I'm going to be obligated to do some work. Duh. That's exactly what it's about. It's about getting in there and working for the Lord, because there's coming a time when there's not going to be any time to work. Time is running short. People are dying in their sins and going to hell. And we've got a responsibility to make sure that they hear God's word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Brother Jerry.